Greetings, horror fans, and welcome to episode 189 of Frightmares. I'm your host, Austin Proctor, and joining me today via internet is my friend, Mikey Manshot.
Hello, everybody.
Looking very dapper today. I see you dyed your hair, or bleached it.
I did. I bleached a God-honoring blonde color.
I love it. Today, we are talking about Piggy, and I believe this was your pick, if I'm not mistaken. I think you suggested it.
I did, but if you listen to Slasher's podcast, it'll be a different reason.
What happened? Which episode? The newest one? I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Yeah, when I told you that you picked it because you said it reminded me of you, a fat Mexican girl. And she's not even Mexican, she's Spanish, excuse me.
I think this was shot in Spain, I believe. But yeah. We were going to do, I don't know what we were going to do. I had something picked out, but you picked this one, and I was like, ooh, I've wanted to watch that. It's new for last year, so it's a fresh movie. We won't go into heavy spoilers because I would like everyone to enjoy this. And I don't know why I was saying it was a Shudder original or Shudder exclusive. It's on fucking Hulu, so I don't know where I thought it was on Shudder or have anything to do with Shudder. I was mistaken. It is on Hulu to stream, and I think it's also on Amazon Prime as well. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Let me get my notes here. I have some juicy horror gossip for you, Mikey, that I hope you enjoy.
Ooh. Yeah. And I knew that you said, oh, it's a Shudder exclusive, and I was like, Austin always has, like, something incorrect in every episode. No. So I just let it go.
Oh no. I know. Either I'll say something I'm not sure of or one of the hosts will. It's but you're there to correct me. So I gotta start taking notes every time you tell me I did something wrong so I can redact it in the next episode. With some horror news here, according to Fangoria, we're getting a Smile sequel. It looks like a sequel to the 2022's biggest horror hit is happening. More than that, though, the man behind the hit has signed a much larger deal with Paramount Pictures that should see him bringing plenty of genre goods over the way to us for the next few years. Smile director Parker Finn has signed a multi-year deal, first look deal with the studio, which I think he gets to, like, look at shit before anybody else does and decides if he wants to do it. But yeah, they're doing a Smile sequel. It's like a top priority as well. I don't know. Did you fancy that movie or like that movie?
I did. I actually liked it a lot. I think, what year was it? 2020 or 2021? 2022.
It was last year, yeah.
Yeah. So 2022. I don't know what year we're in, everybody. So it was whatever year it came out in. It was the movie that I proclaimed as my biggest surprise. Because I really didn't want to see it when I first saw the commercial. It looked kind of like that movie, Truth or Dare, like a very teeny bopper, let's play it safe horror movie. But then it came out and people were like, no, this is actually, like, really spooky. So I dragged my friend with me to go watch it. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I got scared a couple of times. And then I really hope that guy, I forgot his name, but the actor who is in it, who's also in Jennifer's Body. And he's in a bunch of horror stuff. Is it Kyle Gallagher?
Kyle Gallner, Gallner. He plays Joel in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like him. And I love that he has an extensive past in horror movies. So I also want to say he might be in a Scream movie.
He's in.
He's in four.
Yeah. The fifth one.
Or the fifth one. Yeah. The fifth one.
Yeah.
So like, I follow him on Twitter. He has my respect. And I'm like, and I love, I don't know if y'all have seen Jennifer's Body, but he plays, like, the emo kid, which always makes me laugh because they were definitely those kids when I was in high school. And when he asks her if she wants to come over and watch a Rocky Horror Picture Show, and she was like, I don't like boxing movies. So I'm definitely excited for it, especially if he's in, if all the original filmmakers and people that have to do with the first one are involved, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's something that I don't feel not that it doesn't deserve a sequel, excuse me. It doesn't really need a sequel, but I mean, you know, if you do it right, then obviously, I'm going to go check it out either way. But it's just kind of weird. It's like something that really doesn't need, like, how are they going to expand upon what happened? You know, are they going to include the people from the first movie and have it continue on in the same community? Or is it just going to be a completely isolated incident that's not even has anything to do with the first one? I don't know. You know, there's not really much on the table for what's going on. But as long as they do it right and the same people are involved, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's Hollywood, so you never know.
Well, this is where it gets tricky, because for it to be a good sequel, you have to give some background of what's happening. Because the first one didn't really give much background. And this is why, you know, people are like, oh, it was just a ripoff of It Follows. It Follows definitely is a far superior movie, but It Follows never gave us the sequel it was supposed to, called Follow It. So in both cases, with both films, if you give us a solid background of what's going on that is not something stupid like Rob Zombie's Halloween background, then it would be a girthy sequel to me. Like, yeah. Give me that. Girthy. I don't know how to say it without being too explicit.
Too sexual.
But,
Yeah, it also worries me, though, because if you have seen The Boy and then the sequel to The Boy, it's Brahms, The Boy 2, the sequel just kind of shits all over the twist from the first movie, and that made me so upset. I was like, why would you try to, like, redact things you've already established that are true in the storyline? So as long as they don't pull something like that, if they go more into the lore of, like, how it started and why it's still going and how to stop it, that actually might be a really cool way to do it, I think, if they did that. Because they don't really explain it. You're right. They kind of just, you kind of just experience it with the people on screen. They don't really go too much into the story. Yeah. So if they expand on the story, I'm definitely down. So be on the lookout for that. That's definitely exciting. Smile was one of my favorites from last year. So I will definitely be watching that. Moving on, Gina Gershon is joining the cast of Thanksgiving. Gina Gershon, Tim Dillon, and Rick Hoffman are set to join the cast of TriStar Pictures and Spyglass Media Group's horror pick Thanksgiving, Eli Roth's next feature film, which is based on the fake trailer featured in Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse. This represents something of a reunion for Gershon and Eli Roth, who recently worked together on Lionsgate's upcoming video game adaptation Borderlands. More recently, the actress appeared in Riverdale, but her genre roots run deep, all the way back to films like The Wachowskis' Bound, in which she co-starred with future bride of Chucky, star Jennifer Tilly, and Paul Verhoeven's cult classic Showgirls. I know the name Gina Gershon, but, like, I had to look her up to know who she was.
Oh my God, Austin.
I know. I'm an uncultured swine. I'm sorry.
I mean, you're a cisgendered straight guy, so I kind of get it, but... you know me, you bring me on a show, I'm going to talk and I'm not going to stop talking. I have a story for everything. When I think of Gina Gershon, to be fair, the first time I heard of Gina Gershon was from a little indie film called Pray for Rock and Roll. Hmm. It's really good. It's not horror. It's just about, she's the lead woman of a punk band, and it's about, like, her trials and tribulations and going through living in LA and all those things. It's very good. And so I fell in love with her because she is a singer. She uses her actual singing voice in the movie. And so I became, like, a super fan. I showed my friend, who got super obsessed with her also. And I think maybe she made my friend a lesbian because she was, like, super Christian, like, God-fearing woman. And then she became a lesbian right after we learned about Gina Gershon. So then we learned about Bound. Maybe it was Bound that turned her lesbian. If you haven't seen Bound, watch that movie. It's not a horror movie, but it's kind of like a horror movie because the mafia scares the shit out of me because that shit happens all the time. And it's very intense. And of course, Jennifer Tilly, who needs to say anything else?
Aren't they a couple in that or something? Gina Gershon and her or something? Am I thinking
Jennifer,
of something else?
No, you're correct. Jennifer Tilly plays the wife of a mafia boss, which is actually, she's done that in a couple of movies. but she plays, like, the wife of a mafia boss, and Gina Gershon is, like, the maintenance woman, okay. I guess. Very strong masculine vibes from her because she has that face where she can be beautiful, but she's also a little rough looking. So they really they give her the whole Ruby Rose look in this movie. And they end up having an affair, and she's trying to get her out of the mafia life. So super intense, really good.
And that's on Paramount. If anybody cares to check it out, it's on Paramount Plus, which I'm going to put on my list now.
Yeah. Do not watch with kids. It has plenty of clam bumping. Now,
Mikey,
it's Women's Month. Do it. So this was back in the MySpace days. My friend was so obsessed with her, she made a MySpace page for her. And
for Gina Gershon?
So she put, like, her age on it or whatever. And my friend wasn't, like, trying to pretend she was her. She just made, like, a page for her and, you know, like, a profile on MySpace. And Gina Gershon's representatives actually reached out to my friend and were like, she was like, hey, like, Gina's really, like, honored that you would have made this for her. But she actually, because, you know, you take the name when you do it. Like, it's myspace.com/Gina Gershon.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, but we'd really like to utilize that name, so, you know, she's honored, but if you don't mind, we'd like to take it over.
Did they cut a fat check for that?
No.
Oh, no. What? Not even any monetary value, man. Just, oh, can we have this?
I, Well, I do, because I don't even think they had to like add. I think you can just tell MySpace like, hey, like that's me.
That's me.
It'd be different if like it would be different if it, you know, my MySpace was like myspace.com/GinaGershon, but it was my profile. But since it was her, you just have to say like, hey, this is me. Show them proof of
Yeah.
whatever. And MySpace is like, okay, we'll take this profile down. That's obviously spoofing you. But that was literally like 11 or 12 years ago when we were in high school.
Oh wow. Okay. I know MySpace was like a very short time, honestly. I think I had it for a couple years. I mean, I definitely miss it. I miss being able to customize all that shit. Like we were like coders back then when we'd copy and paste these
Oh
things
yeah.
to like have the matrix
All the
falling down.
HTML.
Yeah.
My
That was a good
favorite
time.
meme is I wish Facebook had top eight like MySpace did because some of my friends need to know where they stand.
Yes. I miss that. You were having a bad week with your friend. You're number four now. You're having a good week. All
Oh
right, I'll
yeah.
bump you back up to number two. People do
You get a
not.
crush and you put them on number two.
Dude, I don't think kids these days don't understand the fucking fear of going to your friend's profile to make sure you're still where you should be on their ranking. It's very
Yeah.
judgmental, honestly. It's a good time. So yeah, beyond the Thanksgiving, I'm assuming is going to be coming out around Thanksgiving. It would be weird to drop that shit in like January. I'm just saying. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, but just know that it is coming and it's about like, 15 years too late. But hey, at least we're getting it. I'm excited for that. Moving on, we've got a couple more things here. Legendary Pictures is remaking The Faces of Death. Legendary Pictures has lined up Izzah Mazé and Daniel Goldhaber, who delivered the excellent movie Cam back in 2018, which, if you haven't seen Cam, that is a wild movie. They are writing and directing this. The new plot revolves around a female moderator of a YouTube-like website whose job it is to weed out offensive and violent content, and who herself is recovering from serious trauma. She stumbles across a group that is recreating the murders from the original film. But in the story prime for the digital age and age of online information or misinformation, the question to face is, are the murders real or fake? Now, I like that. I haven't seen the original one, but obviously I'm going to have to go watch that now. But I like the idea of kind of making it meta where someone is redoing something from the original film. So I love when they do that with movies, when they go to do a sequel or something like that, and they treat the first movie like it's a real thing in the world, and then they make it meta off of that. Have you seen the original Faces of Death movie?
I did when I was a kid. I had no idea
Oh,
why my parents let
God.
me watch that.
No, my.
It's not my fault. I had a bunch of cousins. Someone let me watch it. I don't know who it was. It wasn't something that I put on. It was just something that I happened to like catch when other people were watching it.
Yeah.
But I probably didn't finish it. When I heard that they're doing a Faces of Death remake, I kind of just didn't care because I thought it was going to be like a new collection. I was like, okay, Faces of the Death, the original was supposed to be real deaths
Right.
on screen, which, as we know, a lot of them were fake. You look at them now and you're like, why did I believe that was real? Like, there's even one where they're using like a plush husky,
Oh
like that
my
you get
God.
at like a crane game and they're
Yeah.
pretending it's a real one. But
Oh
there are
man.
some real ones. I think like the monkey brain eating one is real because there's restaurants that actually do that.
Oh my God.
And I think one of the ones where someone jumps off a building is real. So there is some real stuff on it. So when I thought it was going to be just like another one of those, I really didn't care. I
Yeah.
wouldn't see that. But you kind of win me and then also lose me again with this summary because I like the idea, like you said, of it being meta and someone's out there like trying to make their own Faces of Death. But it sounds like it's going to be like a detective-led story, which I'm out.
That's true. Yeah, it's another case of you're gonna have to do it the right way. The narrative has to be there, and it just has to be executed properly. But nonetheless, that should be interesting. I got to try and track down that movie somewhere if it's streaming or something. So that's in the works. Another Nick Cage movie coming out this summer, I believe. So the new upcoming thriller for Nick Cage, set for summer release, Sympathy for the Devil. After being forced to drive a mysterious passenger at gunpoint, a man finds himself in a high-stakes game of cat and mouse where it becomes clear that not everything is as it seems. I mean, it's Nick Cage. That's pretty much all the information I need. I don't know if you're a fan of him. I'm a pretty big fan because he's just, it's Nick Cage. I mean, I don't know. Anything he does, I'll watch. Pretty much.
I do enjoy his. Well, I didn't really enjoy what is it? The noise, the sound of noise. I don't know. The Shape of Color, whatever.
The Shape of Water?
No, not that one. The Lovecraftian one he did with the.
Oh, The Color
He's
Out
like
of
a.
Space.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
one. I didn't really care for that one. I like the shitty things he does, like the Willy's Wonderland. Mandy was fun. I like him as an actor, and I think he's great on screen. Like, I'm really excited for Renfield, where he plays Dracula, but I won't say that I'll watch him in anything like
Oh, okay.
that. The weight of massive talent, like, I'm not gonna watch that.
No, you don't. So you like his more goofy kind of roles as opposed to the more serious roles.
Well, I just like the genre roles.
Yeah, that's fair.
So like horror stuff, and like,
Well,
you know how much I love Josh Hartnett,
yeah.
and Josh Hartnett is coming out with another crush of mine, Jason Statham, in some movie where they're like,
Ooh.
it's very similar to The Weight of Massive Talent,
Oh, okay.
and that's not even gonna convince me to watch that movie. I can't do it, Austin.
I can only do so much. I understand. I
I
understand.
know.
Well, be on the lookout for that as well. Like I said, it's Nick Cage. I'll check it out. It's a thriller, and it sounds pretty interesting. And last but not least, speaking of new people doing movies, we're getting another Jordan Peele movie. He's staying in business with Universal Pictures as the studio has just set an untitled fourth film from the Nope writer-director for release on December 25th, 2024. Additionally, an untitled horror thriller from Peele's Monkey Paw Productions will open in theaters Friday, September 27th, 2024. So next year we're going to be getting two things from him, and I'm always down for Jordan Peele's work, especially after rewatching all of them and having a much fonder appreciation for all those movies. It's going to be something I'm going to have to watch a couple times because there's always going to be some message that I don't get, and then I have to dissect, and then I have to watch an ending explained on. But are you a fan of Peele's work? Or are you
I
kind of in?
am.
Okay, good. That's
No, I
good.
am. I came on the Peele bus kind of late because Get Out was fine. I thought it was okay, for a one watch movie, and I was like, I think the reason why it's making so much buzz is because of the social commentary, which I
Yeah.
respect. And then I saw Us, and Us like blew me away. I was like, oh shit.
On the first watch?
Yes, like the
Interesting. Okay.
music score and like just the cinematography, the creepiness of it. The story is a little strange, but just like the execution of the film itself is amazing. And then Lupita Nyong'o's performance, like, I'm about to come right now. It's just so good.
Get a towel,
And
everybody.
then, sorry, censor me, please. And then Nope was just fun. I loved Nope.
Yeah.
And I think someone asked me when the last time I was actually surprised by the end of a movie or like a twist. And I said, probably Nope. Nope was probably the last time that I was like, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, real quick, actually, let's just talk about that briefly. I'll put a note in the timestamps that this is Jordan Peele spoilers. But yeah, when it's revealed that the spaceship is actually a creature, I was like, that is one of the most brilliant things I never would have guessed that in a million years. Never. I never thought it would be the actual ship itself was the beast, but I thought that was a very smart way to do that, because not that I can remember, I don't think that's ever been done where they've made this like the spacecraft an actual living, breathing animal. I can't think of a time that that's ever been done. I don't know if you have a movie. Yeah, so to do that is it kind of just flipped everything I know about UFO movies on its head, because now I'm like, well, I never would have expected that to happen.
Yeah,
And
it was just
then
a small detail that completely changed almost everything in the movie.
everything, yeah. And that scene alone too, when it starts sucking up all those people and you can just hear the screams of the people inside,
Oh, yeah.
goosebumps every time I see that. Oh my God. And then real quick on the Us ending real quick, did you know what happened at the end? Because I had to like kind of look it up to make sure I was right, but did you get exactly what happened?
Like that, the girl who was lost the whole time was what we thought was the clone.
Yeah, so essentially the girl from the beginning actually does switch places with the tethered version of herself, and that's why she doesn't talk, and the parents have to go to counseling, and then eventually she learns how to talk. So yeah, the version of Lupita Nyong'o that you think is the real one is actually the tethered version, and the one underground in the red suit is the real one. And once I figured that out, I was like, holy
Yeah,
shit, that makes that
it's
movie,
fucked up.
yeah, it's crazy. So next year we'll be getting two joints from him. That's exciting shit right there. Well, I guess
Do you know
one.
if they'll be horror or comedy?
Well, the one that he is actually directing doesn't say, it's just an untitled fourth film, but the one that he's producing with Monkey Paw is a horror thriller. So at least we
Oh,
know
yeah.
one of them is a horror thriller. What I assume it would be another horror movie from him. I don't think he's gonna pull an Ari Aster where he's just going horror, and then fucking random whatever that fucking
Well,
movie is about.
I think Monkey Paw is his production for
Yes.
like his horror stuff. So
Yeah, it came
probably
out.
safe to assume.
It's probably safe to assume because, yeah, once Us came out, that's when he set up the Monkey Paw Productions, because it even has the little, you know, spoon and cup from Get Out. So as long as they're making movies, I'm a happy man. Have you heard anything in horror lately? Throwing you on the spot.
I have. But it's baseless, and I will tell you, I'm the only reason why I'm mentioning it is because it ties into another baseless story that I'm interested to see how it works out. So there's a story out there that there's talks that Salma Hayek might come on to Scream 7 to play whatever her name is, Jenna Ortega and Melissa Barrera's mother.
I think I saw the article about that.
I was like, oh, that'd be great. When you read the article, it literally says, Melissa Barrera just mentioned, I think it'd be cool if Salma Hayek came on and played my mom. And so I was like, that's all. Like, there's no talks. Nothing's happening. The most we can expect is for Salma Hayek to read it, which this isn't a far stretch. This isn't too far-fetched because it's happened before. Salma Hayek reads it and it's like, oh, that would actually be really fun. I'm down. And then it happens.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's also, there's no base for it. And people were kind of like complaining about it on the internet. And I was like, this is what happened with the I Know What You Did Last Summer news when they were like, oh, by the way, Jennifer Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze Jr. are going to come back. I'm like, no, they're not. Freddie Prinze Jr. already released a statement saying he wasn't offered anything. He wasn't told anything. After that story came out, he talked to the director that's going to be making the new one. But like, she didn't like offer him anything. And like, his tone didn't sound too convincing that he was going to do it. And I am obsessed with Jennifer Love Hewitt. I know she hates horror films. She's a mother of three right now, doing TV happily. I don't think she would do it. I mean, I'm hoping she would. I would love to see her reprise her role. But it doesn't seem like a possibility for me.
Yeah, that's funny.
As Jennifer Love Hewitt's unofficial spokesperson, I can tell you.
That's funny. Because I saw the article that you mentioned about the Scream thing. I just didn't click on it. I guess I'm glad I didn't, because it wasn't, I just saw it. I was like, oh, that would be really cool. So it's funny that it doesn't even confirm it in there. And that's fucking great. We can hope. But yeah, there is a Scream 7 happening. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do. But I mean, I'm here for it. I will definitely go.
Do we ever?
I know, right? Like, when they were doing the fifth one, I was like, okay, I don't know. And then they did. And I was like, all right, cool. And then they did the sixth one. I'm like, how the fuck are they going to keep doing this? They're going to hit a point where they need to stop, because they're going to just ruin a franchise. Because seriously, me and Gabby talked about this on the last episode. They have like the most consistent ratings, like on like Letterboxd and IMDb for a franchise. So just don't ruin it. The only one that has like a bad rating is 3, but you know, they did their best with 3. Okay.
This is how you end it.
Do tell. This is not a spoiler.
This is not a spoiler, because whatever. So my joke, not my joke, but what I want to happen that I know would never happen is Ghostface becomes a tulpa, which is basically something that is put into existence because of everybody believing in it. Kind of like Slenderman, how it didn't really exist until people started making shit up on the internet. And now it's like a thing. People claim they see it. I would love that, but that's not going to happen. But my thing is, what you do is in the next one, you bring back Sydney and then you pay her what she's worth. Melissa Barrera starts giving into her murderous rampages, and then you have a showdown between her and Sydney at the end, where she actually does become a serial killer. And not like, don't try to hide it, because we're not stupid. Like, maybe there is a killer, but also Melissa Barrera is finally giving in and killing people. So like, while they team up to take over the killer here, Sydney acts to actually stop her or get her into psychiatric help before she becomes the next Ghostface. And then you have the drama of Jenna Ortega being the little sister, being defensive, and you know, so that's how you bring everybody back and end the story.
I like that, because you've never really seen the progression of someone pushed to the point of wanting to become Ghostface. They already have the motivation when the movie starts and they're already killing people. So watching a character develop for, you know, I guess it would be a trilogy, 5, 6, and 7, and seeing them gradually just be pushed into doing, you know, putting on the mask themselves, that would be fucking honestly cool. I think that's pretty much the only thing they could do at this point that would, you know, surprise us. But that's actually a really good idea. Mikey, why aren't you in Hollywood writing things?
Because I'm in Texas writing independent films, where I belong.
That's fine. I'm very excited for any future endeavors that we have. So I'm A-OK doing little indie things. Hollywood's a sham anyways. That is all I have for horror news. Let me read you some women's history facts here, because we are still in March. I think we've got, what do we got? One more week of March? Today's my birthday. That's all I know.
Yay!
Woo! Yeah, so we have, okay, yeah, we have one more week after this. I don't even know what we're doing next week. I have no idea. Oh, I know what we're doing. We're doing a fucking movie from the 80s. So women's history facts. Since 1995, every sitting president has issued a Women's History Month proclamation. In the tradition of President Carter's inaugural Women's History Week proclamation, presidents have issued annual proclamations for more than 25 years that honor the role of women in U.S. history. In 2021, President Joe Biden's proclamation focused especially on COVID and on the historic election of Vice President Kamala Harris. And number two, Canada, because they're different, celebrates Women's History Month in October. While it's primarily an American invention, versions of Women's History Month are also nationally recognized in a few other countries. Canada has celebrated since 1992, designated the month of October and the honor of historic persons court case, which on October 18th, 1929, overturned the accepted definition of persons in Canadian law as a term that referred only to men. The ruling opened up a huge number of opportunities for Canadian women, including the right to serve in the Senate. So go Canada, you do you. Anything you've recently watched that was good? I know me and you watched Death of a Vlogger last night, which I had seen a couple years ago but didn't remember anything. Did you actually end up enjoying it? I know we pretty much went to bed right after because it was very late.
Not together, everybody. But the way you said it, I was like, that's clarifying. So Death of a Vlogger, I actually did really like it. It scared me.
It was spooky. It was way spookier than I remembered. Holy shit.
Yeah, it was very ooky spooky. And then after we did the whole like Irish horror movie template thing that I created, I rewatched Isolation and I was like, that's a fucked up movie. I can't believe I was watching that when I was like 11 years old.
Oh, yeah. When did we watch that? A few days ago. That was one. Well, I started it and then you started it like 15 minutes after me. But yeah, I'm glad you put that on your Ireland little sheet that you did, because that movie was first of all, it was very original. I don't think I'd ever seen a story based off of cows like that before. That was very interesting. And just the progression of the story and the stakes that were set. Like if that thing were to have gotten out of the farm, everyone is fucked. I was like, man, the stakes are really high in this movie for it being so isolated on a farm. But that's one. That is a movie I've never heard of. I'm sure most people probably haven't heard of. But you need to watch that. It was on Shudder, I believe. Is that where we watched?
Yeah, I think it's on Shudder, and I think it might be on Tubi also.
Yeah, but that was a 4-star movie for me all day long. I'm gonna show that to every time I see a good movie like with you or something, I'll wake up the next day and be like, Gabby, we have to watch this movie. You'll love it. And that is one of them, because that is a wildly wild movie. So yes. Let's see. What have I recently watched? I've been watching so much shit. Oh, I recently watched Dead Silence like 4 times because I love that movie. I just got the 4K in from Scream Factory. And I watched the unrated cut, and then I watched the theatrical last night with Spencer. You a fan of James Wan and puppets and spooky things? Or am I?
I actually was. We actually covered that on we covered it on Slasher's podcast a couple months ago. But I remember when I first watched it, I didn't really care for it. But watching it again, I was like, oh, this is actually a really good movie. So yeah, that film's dope. I do like James Wan. I know people kind of, because he did the Saws, right?
He did the first one, and then after that, he pretty much was just kind of producing them, I think. But James Wan and Lee Whannell wrote and directed the first Saw. Anything beyond that was directed by Darren Lynn Bousman or Kevin Grudert or something like that. So,
Like his supernatural stuff. I don't care for Saw. You know, like I said earlier, the whole detective-led films, that's Saw. But I like his paranormal stuff. And then Malignant, people, that's half and half for people, but I really like Malignant.
I fucking loved Malignant. I thought that movie was batshit insane. It's like he just got a whole bunch of money from the studio and they were like, go have fun, kid. You know, spend this money well. We know you'll do good things with it. I love Malignant. But yeah, been watching. And then I watched some David Fincher joints. I'd never seen Fight Club and I watched that. And then I had pretty sure I had seen Seven, but I hadn't seen the whole movie. I knew the ending. I know the ending. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it really pisses me off that you don't even see what's in the box. I thought you did. I thought you actually got to see. You don't see. It's like, what the fuck?
I haven't seen it, but I know what's in the box.
Yeah, I think we all know what's in the box. Yeah, but then it's crazy because I didn't know anything about Fight Club, literally besides you don't talk about Fight Club. But I was able to predict the movie in about 40 minutes, and that really pissed Gabby off, because I don't ever do that. I never figure out movies. And I was like, I guarantee this is what's happening, and that happened. And I was like, well, that took all the fun out of this movie. I'm glad I don't predict movies that often, because that completely sucks the fun out of watching a movie for me.
That happened with me when I went to go see Scream 6. I went with my horror bros, as I call them, because I go watch all the horror movies with them. Yes. And about 15 minutes into the movie, my friend looks at me and says, I bet you this is the killer. And like, he like listed who he thought and why. And it was correct. Damn and it. I looked at him and I was like, thanks for ruining the movie for you. He's like, I didn't know. I was just guessing. Because the whole time I was like, I was like paying attention to those characters being like, is this really? But yeah, so.
You gotta love that. Yeah, that's one of my, Spencer did that. He's like, I bet you this person's involved. And then they were involved. I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. And then the other last thing I watched was a movie called Resurrection from 1999. It is about this guy. You wouldn't like it because it's a detective-led kind of crime thing. But this detective is hunting down a serial killer who is taking body parts off, like an arm from one, a leg from another, and he's assembling a body for the recreation of Christ. It is fucking crazy. It is a very wild movie. People said in the reviews, they were like, oh, this is just a ripoff of Seven. Besides the fact that they both involve a religious killer, I see no other similarities. But I'm going to recommend anybody watch Resurrection. It's on Tubi. Not the Resurrection with Rebecca Hall from last year or whatever. Resurrection from 1999, directed by Russell Mulcahy, who also did Highlander and Resident Evil Extinction. So that's where I'll leave that. Go check that movie out. Let's talk about this movie here. Let's get into some IMDb factoids about Piggy. This was released in 2022 on October 14th to the internet in the US. I think it was released in 2021 in where it was made in Spain. But for us over here in the US, it was not released until last year on October 14th. It is not rated. Mild sex and nudity, severe violence and gore, moderate profanity, mild alcohol, drugs, and smoking. They smoke a joint one time. And severe frightening and intense scenes. Runtime of an hour and 39 minutes. And I did not feel it did not like it was. This movie has legs. It gets up and goes. It's listed as a drama horror thriller. Directed by, I'm going to butcher all these Spanish names, but I'm really going to do my best. So you can correct me if I'm saying it completely wrong, but it's Carlota Pereda. Is that it?
Good enough.
Who has only done one other movie called The Devil's Tale. It was also written by her. She's only written a few shorts and like 5 episodes of a TV show. Produced by 6 people, none of which stood out to me. Because this is a foreign movie, so I'm not going to recognize a lot of people. It's composed by Olivier Arson, who has done mostly Spanish films and TV. Cinematography by Rita Noriega, who has also done Spanish films and TV. Edited by David Pellegrin. Starring Lauren, is it G-A-L-A-N? Is that Gayan? Is that how you say that? Or is it just Galan?
I think it's Galan, because if it was Galan? 2 L's, it'd be Gayan.
Gayan. So oh, that's Galan. Right. 2 L's is a Y sound. That's right. Yeah. Look at me knowing some things in Spanish. She's only done a few other movies, one of them being Unknown Origins as Isabel, Richard Holmes as Desconocido. Desconocido? Mm-hmm. Okay. Who has only done one other movie called Sky High from 2020. Not Sky High with Tim Allen, I think, is on that one. Carmen Machi as Madre de Sarah. That's literally her name. Sarah's mother. Nailed it.
I was gonna say
that's Leah.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't say her name, which is why they just
I think her name is it's A-U-S-O-N.
Oh, Anus.
Yeah, or something like that. It's weird that she's listed as Madre de Sarah because she has a name. 70 acting credits. She was also in 101 episodes of Aida, I believe is how you say that. I'm assuming that's a Spanish like telenovela or something like that. I would assume. Probably. Yeah. And then we've got Irene Ferrerio as Claudia. Only 3 other credits for TV stuff and a short. And then we have Camilla, how do you say that? Aguiar?
Aguilar.
Aguiar. She plays Rochi, was also in Heaven Will Wait as Pauline. Or Rossi. Rossi. Rossi.
Rochi.
Sorry. Goodness. I'm so white.
Okay, that's enough of the cast.
That's the end of the cast.
Before Spain cancels us.
Oh my goodness. So terrible. Could not find a budget on it. It's an indie film, but it did gross $471K. according to IMDb. This movie was filmed in Caseras, Extremadura. I can't do it. Help me, Mikey.
Spain.
Spain. Okay.
It was filmed in Spain.
I wrote all this down fully intending to give it my all and say these, but like I have this fucking bump on my tongue and I can't roll my R's right now and it's fucking killing me. I'm doing my best. Oh my goodness.
Extremadura is the city.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I was trying to say. Goodness. Movies that came out around the same time. We've got Jeepers Creepers Reborn. Good Night, Mommy. Bring It On, Cheer or Die. I still need to see that. I'm sure it's terrible, but I don't care.
Do you?
The Monsters, Smile, Sissy, Hocus Pocus 2, My Best Friend's Exorcism, Terrifier 2, Grim Cuddy, Black Adam, VHS 99, Pray for the Devil, and Wakanda Forever. That is so much shit going on. Did you have a specific horror moment that stuck out to you? Because I did, and it was such a nonchalant scene too. They just did it so, it was such a passive scene.
I think it's probably going to be the same thing, but real quick, I did want to say, because I saw the budget on Wikipedia earlier. Oh. The budget was 2.5 million euros. I don't know what that translates into dollars, but
okay,
it is what it is. My horror moment was the first scary thing that happens when she's out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to avoid the bullies, so she closes her eyes and dives under the water to kind of hide for them. And she doesn't have her eyes open, so she doesn't see it, but the audience sees it, and there's a dead body sitting strapped to a chair next to her.
Yep, that is mine. It is the lifeguard, I believe, or someone who's working there. It's just so nonchalant because they film her.
It was the guy who was being a jerk to the woman before.
Yes, it was that guy. I think they said he was a lifeguard, but I can't remember. But yeah, he is tied up to a chair with his hands behind his back and like a big, you know, weight on the chair. And it's just the way it's done. It's just like, oh, by the way, there's a dying man right there. You're like, oh my God. Okay. Because it just comes out of nowhere and you're not expecting that to happen at all, because we'll get into it in a second. But yeah, that was my horror moment. Holy shit. My favorite kill is kind of a spoiler, so I don't really want to say who it is, but they definitely get what they deserve. I'll leave it at that because they're a piece of shit. And then my least favorite character in this was pretty much everyone that bullied Sarah, because oh my God, the things that were said is so gross.
Yeah. it's hard to talk about like a favorite kill, because like you said, like part of the story is figuring out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What does happen.
And there's also not too many of them. I mean, I think there's maybe like three on-screen deaths. You know what I mean? There's one that's off-screen, and then I think there's two other ones. So there's not even a lot of kills, but I know mine's towards the end, and I don't want to spoil that.
Yeah. And then what was the... Oh, favorite character. I've just... Sarah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that too. I'm going to go with Sarah.
I'm really glad that we are doing this movie for Women's Month, because it is made by a woman, but also like this is a woman-led story about shit that women deal with, plus size women deal with all the time.
Yep.
And I was a dick in high school, but I would have never been a dick just because of your size. I was a dick to avoid these things happening to me. So right. One of the things that I did as like a, and I feel, you know how gays have the reputation of being like sassy, like, oh, they come back, they have such quick comebacks. It's because we sit there and look at you and say, you're going to be a dick to me. Let me find your flaws and come up with what I'm going to tell you beforehand, so that if you do tell me something, I have something in my back pocket that's going to be much worse and you'll leave me alone.
Yeah.
And it works.
It's almost a defense mechanism because of, you know, people, I'm sure, you know, people either making fun of you or something, and it's like it's sad that people have to have comebacks ready to go because they know they're going to be bullied just for existing, for who they are. It's really upsetting, and that's why I'm glad you picked this one too, because it does kind of showcase something. And this movie is kind of a hard watch, like it really is, because they didn't just get an actress and slap like a fat suit on her. No, they got a plus size woman actress to play this role. And I was thinking, I was like, was it, you know, it must have been hard for her knowing that she is a plus size woman, but like, is it hard for you to hear that on screen? I know everyone's acting, but is that, you know what I mean? That's gotta be hard to do. So I commend her for doing this movie with this like very, you know, kind of harsh subject matter, but it does shine a light on, you know, because you don't see many actresses like this as the star. So it's nice to see her in this role, like a woman of power. But yeah, she's definitely my favorite, just because of what she's gone through and what she's had to struggle with. I'm sure it can't be easy. I think that's all for favorites.
I mean, if we're really going to talk about my toxic trait, is falling in love with serial killers in movies that are kind of attractive and doing like protecting you at the same time. Oh my God. I was like, this guy? I mean, he's like in his 30s and she's playing a high schooler, so that's problematic. But
yeah,
if it was me, who is also in my 30s, you know. But what I wanted to touch base on real quick was, you know, you mentioned like a fat suit, which right now Brendan Fraser's going through not a lot because there's not really, it's not a lot, but they're loud. People kind of giving him shit for using a fat suit. But I'm glad they got an actress of this size to play this role, because Brendan Fraser, I understand, he's playing someone that's like 700 pounds. Like, there's not a lot of actors. If you watch those shows, like My 600 Pound Life, they don't get around easily.
Right.
So it's not, first you have to find an actor that's going to be 700 or 600 pounds. And then you have to find, like, can they make it to set? Like, you know, there's just a lot of things that, so to me, I understand why Brendan Fraser, why they put a fat suit on him. For this film, this is just a girl who's overweight. You know, she's not like in a wheelchair because she can't walk right, you know?
Right.
And I also love, because I thought when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, she is so cute.
Yeah.
But I know she's going to go through some shit.
Yep.
And she wears a bikini and it looks great. And so I'm like, hell yeah for also having a plus size actress, but hell yeah for putting her in a bikini. Now she goes to the pool when no one's there because she is self-conscious. But
yeah,
for the filmmakers to actually put her in a bikini, I was like, this is what I like to see, because girls need to see that you can wear this stuff if you have this kind of body.
Of course, but yeah.
I felt it was empowering. I mean, I'm not a woman. I can't speak for women. But for someone with a daughter, you know, I want her to be able to see a movie where a plus-size girl is wearing a bikini, and it's totally fine.
Yeah, because we should all be accepted for who we are. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are. It does not matter. As long as you are fine, as long as you're okay and happy, I mean, that's all that really matters to me. I'm not going to judge you for your weight. That's such an insane thing to do. And the people in this movie that are like ridiculing her for it, it's like, and you know that has to happen somewhere to someone at some point, and it's got to be like, oh my God, I'm just trying to live my life and you're literally calling me a pig. That is so toxic of you to do. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But let's just talk about some of the story here. So basic background here. Sarah and her family, they own, I guess it's just like a meat shop where they kill the animals themselves, they butcher them, and then they put them up for sale, and business is like not so great right now. So she's working there with her mom, her dad, and her little brother, and there's like a group of kids that are outside. I say kids, they're probably teenagers, young adults, and they immediately right off the bat, I didn't think they were going to be ridiculing her, because Sarah makes eye contact with one of them and she makes like a vomit gesture. I'm like, it's been 5 seconds, guys, let's not already start with this. But you know, going on, there's something called the Madrigal festivities. I think there was running of the bulls going on, because I believe I heard in a news clip that one of the bulls had like gotten over the railing and escaped. So all the kids are going to go to this thing tonight, and Sarah obviously is not, because she doesn't really have a lot of friends, and the friends that she does have make fun of her. Like, they literally come into the store to buy some meat, and one of the girls, I think it's Rosie, I believe, she takes a picture of Sarah and her family and posts it online, says, what does it fucking say? Oh yeah, it says hashtag three little pigs, and then someone else commented fucking fatso, and you're like, oh my God, not only are you shaming someone, you're shaming them publicly online. How the fuck is everyone not like canceling you for this? And you have comments of people laughing and, you know, haha. I'm like, this is terrible. I can't believe that you're resorting to publicly on social media making fun of someone. That's absolutely horrific. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I'm glad that they included that family dynamic, because I don't know about Spanish. I mean, I just found out recently that I am part Spanish, but for Mexican households, that is very true. What you saw on screen,
oh, really?
Happens a lot. I have a cousin who is very large ever since he was little, and his whole life, you know, they've called him gordo, which means fat boy.
Oh my God.
He's in his 40s, and are the older people in the family still call him gordo.
Oh my goodness.
And it's kind of like, you call, you know, and when he was a kid, it was just like a little chunky.
Yeah.
But he just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so like, it's kind of like you're building this environment where you're labeling him that.
Yeah.
And he's going to stay like that because you're making him like accept his fate, basically, instead of changing it. So I'm glad that they included that, because it's very prevalent in Mexican households. I'm sure other people have experienced it as well, where like, your family does love you, but they don't understand mental health and what's good and bad for it.
Right.
Because, you know, and the mom didn't start doing that until Sarah spoke up and was like, "You don't say anything when people make fun of me." And she's like, "What?" And she's like, "Everyone calls me piggy." And so she said that in front of the cop. So she kind of embarrassed the mom. So that's why the mom's like, "Okay, well, I guess you're going on a diet then, so you can stop being a piggy." And that happens too, because you're like, "Oh, you want to lose weight?" And then your family starts giving you like Slim Fast for every meal. And it's like, that's not how you do it either. So it's a lot of lack of education when it comes to
Interesting.
health and weight loss in these families. And also, as a side note, this takes place in a very small town, almost like a countryside town in Spain. So it looks like the only thing I can think of is like, have you seen oh my God, what's that Disney movie with the lizard guy who's in the water?
The lizard guy that's
Bruno,
Oh,
not the
in Encanto.
not
Oh.
Encanto. The Silencio Bruno, it's an Italian movie. One of them, when they get in the
Oh,
water, they turn into
oh,
like
oh.
monsters.
Yeah, what the fuck is Oh, Luca, Luca.
Yeah, Luca. That
Luca.
reminds me of that town. Like, it's
Yeah.
a very European town where like businesses are on the bottom and you have little apartments up top. The streets are made out of cobblestone or even like just gravel.
Yeah.
So it's actually really cool to see that because it's not something that we're used to here.
Right, the setting is definitely quite interesting. And even just like the locations that they have, like that giant, just I'm calling it a swimming hole. I don't know what else to like to reference it as. Just the big rectangular spot of like, it looks like a lake. I'm not sure. But
The
yeah,
natural pool,
the
if you have one in
natural pool.
Austin.
Yeah. But that's actually kind of a big part of this movie because it kind of starts off there and you see everyone's there having fun and you've got the waitress that works there and I believe the lifeguard that like grabbed her butt. I don't know if they were dating or not or if he was just harassing her. I don't think that was ever established. But eventually Sarah goes there when there's nobody there because I think everyone's at the running of the bulls or something like that. And she goes there by herself and she's she got has a bikini on. I'm like, you go girl, you get in that water. And then out of nowhere, this random creepy guy that we saw from earlier, it just pops up and she's like, oh, okay, I thought it was gonna be alone. And then of course, who shows up but the ragtag group of fucking shitbags that start harassing her, calling her piggy, saying that, oh, I bet your hair tastes like bacon. Like, holy shit, guys. So of course, she's like, I'm gonna just leave this situation. So she jumps in the water, tries to swim away. And then they fucking get a net from somewhere and put a net over her head and are making fun of her. And I was like, these people need to meet a very horrible end because this is not something that is deserved by anybody. But eventually they give up and they just take all her shit and they run away. But I was like, I can't believe that people like this probably exist in the world. Because if I ever caught anybody doing that to someone, like if I saw this as a third party, I don't care who you are, I'm just gonna fucking knock you out. Because like, what are you doing? Go do something else with your time. So yeah.
Also,
Oh, go ahead.
just as a quick side note, because I think it's important to the story, there's a character in the group of bad kids called Claudia, and she was best friends with Sarah because they even still wear their BFF bracelets,
Yep.
and she's embarrassed to be around her. So there is another layer of relationships where this was her best friend, but I guess now she started hanging out with the cool kids. She started dating like the hot guy. And so
Pedro, oh
now she
yeah.
doesn't want to be a scene around her. So that also adds something interesting in terms of like, I don't want to ruin it, but it's good.
Well, yeah, and that is a pretty interesting element that they put in there because I had to rewind it for a second because they showcase her bracelet, Sarah's bracelet in the beginning, and then right after that, when Claudia and her boyfriend Pedro are on his little motorbike, she looks at her bracelet, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that was the same thing, and I confirmed that it was because later on, once because a few of the girls go missing right after the incident at the pool. Or the whatever you want to call it, and Pedro later on in the movie finds her, and she's like, where are they? Where did they go? What's going on? I know you know something, and she doesn't really know much of anything besides the fact that at one point she does come across the killer, and they come across people looking for Claudia because I think it's Claudia, Rosie, and Maka was her name that were missing. I believe those three. But yeah, Pedro eventually comes to her and he's like, I'm so sorry for everything. And I felt he was sincere, but it was an interesting dynamic there when they kind of teamed up to help because he immediately places the blame on her because they're walking home after they gotten together, they're smoking a little weed. And that's when Claudia's mom comes up to them and is like, where's Sarah? Blah blah, or where's Claudia? Oh my God. And then when the cops show up, because there's like a little brouhaha breaks out, the cops happen to show up, and fucking Pedro just throws Sarah under the bus immediately after she's like, hey, if you are gonna get arrested by the cops, like I'll come forward and say what little that I know. But she's like, I'm scared to do it now because, you know, it's just she doesn't know what to do. So he immediately throws her under the bus and is like, Sarah knows something. She did it. I'm like, wow, Pedro, I was on your side when you apologized to her. But then you just completely flipped that around and said, you know, threw it at her. Like, she's already got so much shit going on. Why are you dumping this on top of her? So there's with the friend group, there's this very interesting dynamic where it's like, okay, I think we're good. And then no, he flips around and just is kind of an asshole. But he has motives too, because I guess his dad beats him. I think his dad hits him, because later on in the film you see him with a bruised eye. So I know he's trying not to fuck up anymore in front of his dad so he doesn't get beat. So there's a lot of layers to the families, the friends, and everything going on in the story. It's you really do have to pay attention when you watch this, because there's a lot going on. If you look away for a second, you'll miss something. But I find the story fascinating, because at its core, I thought it was going to be a revenge, because I didn't read anything about it. I went in just knowing the cover title, she's all bloody in the middle of the road, and I was like, okay, she's getting picked on. I guess she's going to go on a murderous rampage. That's not even it at all. They're looking for a killer who's going around killing girls. I think it's just girls, right? I believe.
No, he killed the lifeguard.
Oh, that's right. That he did kill the guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're in this small little town. There's a guy going around killing people, and the cops are looking for him. And they have this weird thing with Sarah and the killer, where they meet up, and he tries to help her. You know what I mean? Because he sees her getting picked on by all those kids. And but it's just very interesting. He's like trying to help her, and at one moment, I thought they were gonna kiss. Did you see the moment when they meet up and they're at that abandoned house or whatever, and he's got her by the face? And I was like, are they about to pull in for a kiss here? What's going on? I felt like there was definitely.
I think they did.
Yeah. Are they might have even kissed. Yeah.
There's, because it didn't happen right away, but
yeah.
And one of the times, I'm trying to remember where it is, because I was like, but it was also kind of really almost hidden.
Yeah.
Did they kiss? Did they not?
Did
kiss?
They not?
But he's definitely smitten with her, because he turns into her a personal guard dog, basically.
Yeah.
And he always has his shirt open, and he has the perfect dad bod.
he does. I was like, he's not really ripped, but he's not really fat. He's just kind of in this middle ground of yeah, you look pretty. Yeah. You look pretty good.
He probably drinks beer and can fight you.
Yeah. Which that's the best way to put it.
My preference. But it's very interesting, because the whole movie is based on what happens when you don't say something, and not just because the obvious thing is Sarah sees her ex-best friend and her bullies getting kidnapped by a killer, basically. Right. I don't know if she knows that he's a killer yet when she sees him. But anyway, she sees him in the back of the van screaming for help. Their hands are bloody, and she doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I don't blame her, because they fucked her up mentally. But also, let's rewind, because someone also wasn't saying anything when Sarah was almost drowning. Her ex-best friend never said a word when she was getting picked on. So at the end, when they're like, why didn't you say anything? I'm like, why didn't you do anything, bitch?
Yeah.
out of this situation if you would have said something.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't even. Yeah, because she, she's calling out. Oh my God, that is very interesting now that I'm thinking about it, because she's calling out for Claudia in the beginning, and then eventually someone's calling out for Sarah at the end. So it's flipped. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So there's a lot. It's a very well written and not narrated, but it's well written and constructed. There's meaning to the story. It's not just some. I mean, the killer is, he is just a killer, but you can see he has obviously some sort of compassion, which is usually not a trait of killers. Usually they don't have that, but he has compassion for Sarah, because he's seen small bits of what she's going through. And he almost wants to just kind of help her get over that. And it's very interesting, the dynamic between Sarah and the killer, because it's almost like this forbidden love thing. And I feel like he just instantly connected with her immediately, because he's just staring longingly into her eyes, and even listens to her at one point, towards the end of the movie, when he ends up at their house and he goes to grab his knife to go upstairs, and she's like, don't do that. And he listens to her. I'm like, this is a fucking fascinating movie.
Yeah. And also, he is the first person that's ever been kind to her.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he kills people, but... No one's nice to her, not even her parents. Her dad's kind of just a pushover.
Yeah,
and
he just
when he
exists.
Tries to say something, he doesn't, the cops are berating her. So when he act when she is actually like, this guy is like nice to me, and even though it's bad stuff he's doing to protect me, like it's, you know, it's a mind fuck when,
Yeah.
you know.
Where do you draw the line, you know?
And
Like, do I just give in and, you know, let him love me even though he kills people, or do I say something, you know? This whole movie is about saying things and, you know, or not saying things. It's quite interesting.
yeah, originally I was like, just go with it, run away with him, he's hot. But then, you know, it kind of like goes into like the cheating rules. Like, if he's willing to cheat on you for on someone for you, but let's replace cheating with killing. If he's willing to kill people for you, he's probably going to be willing to kill you also later.
Yeah,
So, and then
exactly.
there's a lot of interesting. So I actually was thinking, it's really weird that I saw this movie today, because yesterday there was a video of the Proud Boys in New York protesting a drag queen thing. I forgot what it was. And he got the shit beat out of him. So there's video of him walking out of the, he's being escorted by the cops to leave the event, and he's bleeding. He's like, I came here to help people, not to get the shit beat out of me. And so of course we're all like, oh ha, that's what he deserves, whatever. But I like to think about these things. I don't know why. Maybe because I write stories and it's an interesting concept. It's like, what happens if the person you need is the person that you're repressing? Like, how at the end the girls needed Sarah, but does Sarah want to help them? Should
Right.
she help them? Do they deserve her help? And it's very interesting to see how the girls treat her when they actually need her help,
Oh,
because the
yeah.
one that was a big bitch to her is the one that seems to actually kind of care for her when she's like, you need to run, Sarah, you need to run.
Yeah.
Or like the ex-best friend was being kind of mean to her.
Oh, yeah,
And
because she.
I was expecting the other way around, but the ex-best friend was like, stop, you fucking idiot, come help me. And so it's very, like, I love thinking about that stuff. And it brings me back to, I don't know if you've ever seen Crash, that old, I think it was like 2007 or whatever, where the guy, the police officer takes advantage of his position and like molests a woman. And later on that day, she gets in an accident. He has to go save her. And she's like, from a car accident. And it's a very fucked up scene, like emotionally. And like that kind of, it just, it's very interesting to
Same
me,
vibe,
that
yeah.
concept.
Yeah, it is quite interesting too, because at the end, when they, you know, when they need help, at one point, not the ex-best friend, the other one though, calls her Piggy, and I'm like, that's when you fucked up. Like, you were fine all the way up until you're like, what did you do, Piggy? Dude, what are you thinking in that moment? You probably could have. So it was just funny, but yeah, I like how everything at the end gets flipped. And everyone needs Sarah's help, and how they ended it was perfect, honestly. The way they did it, I kind of saw a little bit of it coming, but then not the other half. So it was good. I'm glad it ended the way it did, because they could have gone a lot, like, many ways with it. One of them involving just murdering the shit out of everyone, but that would have sent the wrong message, because essentially what that means is, oh, if you push a plus size person enough, they're gonna come back and murder you. Like, you know what I mean? I think that would have sent the wrong message if she just killed everyone because of what happened. That wouldn't have made sense. So the way they ended it was definitely very well done. Like I said, it's a very well constructed story. It's got a lot of layers to it. It really surprised me. I just, like, because I went in, you know, kind of expecting something totally different, and what I got was just this very wild ride of emotions, and, you know, not knowing how it's gonna land in the end. I kind of had a prediction, but, you know, like I said, not all of it was how I thought it was gonna be. What are your final, like, overall and final thoughts on it? What would you rate it, etc.?
I honestly feel the exact same way you did about the ending, because I was like, okay, so is she gonna save them? Is she gonna kill them? Is she gonna let him kill them and then run away with him? Is she gonna let him kill them and then kill her?
There's a lot of
Like, there's a
options.
lot of possibilities, but I'm glad they ended it the way they did, because we don't need her to succumb to the dark side.
Right.
Like, we need to show people that you can be strong and get out of this,
Yeah.
just. And then come out stronger than the people that thought they were stronger than you.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, that sounds a little Hallmarky, but like it is what it is. I absolutely loved this movie. I'm just trying to remember, like, if there's any other films from Spain that
The
I have
Wreck
on my list.
franchise is,
Is Wreck from Spain?
I believe they're made in Spain. I can double check real quick, but that's the only one that comes to mind right now. For me, yeah. I guess I can't really think of anything else, but I know I've seen, like, I honestly love, like, Spanish and, like, Mexican horror. I absolutely love. I think Spanish horror is just is so well done, because it's just so different. You know what I mean? Like, for me, at least for me, because it's a completely different culture that I don't know much about, and learning about that is fascinating to me.
No, yeah, like, I think so. When it comes to Spanish speaking horror, not Spanish as in it's from Spain,
right?
But for Spanish speaking horror, it's easily top three. Like, Terrified is fucking terrifying if you haven't seen it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and then, like, Piggy's already up there. This one isn't really considered a masterpiece, but I just love it so much. And that's the Cemetery of Terror from Mexico.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie. We talked about that one, I think on Slashers. That's a good one.
Yeah, so those are just, like, my top three. Like, Piggy has the movie, not the girl, I'm not calling her. Made its way into my top three of the Spanish speaking films. I absolutely adore that movie.
Did you rate it, or what would you rate it?
Oh, I would definitely give it a 4 out of 5.
Oh, that's what I gave it too. Yeah, I gave it a 4. I thought it was fantastic. It was very well done. And like we said before, you can see this on Hulu. If you have a Hulu subscription, there wasn't much in the way of trivia. The only thing I saw was from the director. She said she wrote Piggy to confront my own fears, real life fears, because being a teen can be terrifying. And then, oh yeah, it was interesting too, because this movie was shot in 4:3. So something that is great about silent movies is that they tell a story visually, and this is the director speaking. And I wanted people to really have the sense of the movie that if you didn't hear the dialogue, you just saw the movie, that you could understand it just by the visuals. That's why we shot in 4:3, because the body is the center of the image. It's much more important than the surrounding landscape. It's more claustrophobic. It reminds us of the summers of our youth for those who are older, and for kids it reminds them of Instagram, so there are more and more layers of the meaning of it. So that's why it's shot in 4:3. I noticed that immediately, and I was like, oh, we're doing standard, okay, that's interesting.
I noticed that too. I was like, what?
Because usually when you see, you know, square movies, they're also usually like black and white, you know what I mean? So for to see a square movie that was color, I was like, I love this directorial choice. So that was interesting. Didn't find any goofs on it, but if I did, I wouldn't care. I don't want to talk anything negative about this movie because it was so good. This has a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 3.2 out of 5 on Letterboxd, 92% on the tomato meter, and 57% audience score. Similar movies, according to Letterboxd, we have High Tension, Black Xmas, sorry, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Last House on the Left, and Valentine. And then similar movies, according to IMDb, we have Cerdita, which is, isn't that Piggy?
That's the short.
Oh, that's the short. Oh, okay.
Cerdita is the short.
Ah, okay. Prison 7.
Cerdita is Piggy.
Okay, yeah, because that's what they were calling her in the movie. And I was like, wait a second. Okay, so that's the short. A movie called Prison 77, Sick, which came out last year. It's about COVID. Sissy and Infinity Pool. Wild array of movies to compare this to. I have no idea how they got those. And like I said, we're not reading any funny or bad reviews because this movie is not deserving of that. She already went through enough. I don't need anybody else making fun of her.
I do want to give a shout out that I've never seen a movie with this plot before, so kudos to that.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why I liked it so much, is because it's very original, and like I said, it's so well written. I really would like to see more from this director, because this was really her first big movie, so hopefully this will get her into more movies and more things, because this was fantastic. Let's see here. Where can everyone find you and the Slashers goons on social media, Mikey?
You can find Slashers Podcast wherever you listen to this fine and dandy podcast. You can find me on Instagram at @horrorandahalfshell. And yeah, if you want to follow Slashers Podcast, it's Mutant Goons from Beyond on Instagram, or Slashers Pod on Instagram.
I need to get a fucking name for my followers. The Mutant Goons from Beyond is so goddamn awesome. Did Jake come up with that? Who came up with that? Because it's fucking awesome.
Probably. He comes up with all the puns.
I love it. You can find us on Facebook at Frightmares, and Instagram and Slasher app at Frightmares Podcast, Twitter, Frightmares_pod. StaySpookyAtOutlook.com is our email. I'm on TikTok at silver.shamrock, and also Letterboxd at Dr. Proctor. Mikey is on Letterboxd as Mikey and the T-Rex. I remember that. Next week, we will be capping off the month with a movie from the 80s involving vampires. Shocker, because that is like the theme of Frightmares. We always love to do vampire movies. And then if everything goes according to plan, we should have a bonus episode with a very, very, very special guest. I don't want to say anything on it yet because every time I say we're going to have a special guest, it falls through. But if things pan out, we should be doing a movie with a lady, or a movie. Yes, we're doing a movie. We should be doing an episode with a female director, which is very exciting stuff. So until next week, guys, stay tuned and stay spooky.